This is football. I'm Kevin Clark. We're getting into day 3, 4, 5 of free agency, getting into the dregs. If I don't know what team you were on last year, I don't think you should have a breaking before your name when you sign. That should be the new rule. So we're going to do something a little bit different today. I have done for 6, 7 years, how many teams can win the Super Bowl? Who can win the Super Bowl? I think that's instructive. And I do it 3 times a year, around midseason, maybe September and then December, because it's just instructive. Because I don't think that many teams are trying to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's the whole thing. And I think that what's funny is that a few years ago, I thought it was like 8 or 9 teams. And then Kyle Shanahan went on Flying Coach 2 years ago and said that he was taught it was like 5 or 6. So even in my cynical view of how many teams are trying to win the Super Bowl, and what I mean by that is, like, who's maximizing their window? Who's saying, all right, we need a wide receiver too. Let's go get a wide receiver too. There's a bunch of teams, probably 20, who say we need a wide receiver too. Let's hope for the best. Let's hope for the best. We're seeing that a little bit, kind of the actions versus words situation with the Dallas Cowboys, who said they were all in. And I think Jerry meant that as he's locked in. I think he meant locked in instead of all in, because they're definitely not all in. They're not making any moves that are significantly changing their floor or their ceiling at all. Other teams are. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do over 2 episodes. I tried to do this in 1 episode, going through the notes, like, this is going to take forever. 2 episodes. Who can win what in 2024? You can call it tiers if you wanted to, fine. But it's more, what are you aiming for? Can you win the Super Bowl? Can you win your division? Can you win nothing? We're going to do AFC today, NFC next week. We also have JJ Watt on that episode. He was terrific. But we're going to just go through that. And free agency is tricky. And also, and people are going to go, oh, well, you have to see the draft. I don't necessarily think the draft changes much in that regard. Like, are the Bears going to be divisional contenders this year because they have Caleb Williams? I don't think so. Are the Commanders? I don't, with Jaden Daniels or Drake May, I don't think so. Are the Patriots? We're going to get to the Patriots because they're an AFC team. No, I don't. We always overrate the impact of rookies to change a team's fortune. Now, there are teams, Colts a couple years ago, draft 2 All-Pros. Yeah, that matters. But by and large, even a great rookie class tends to be a second-year leap, not a first-year leap. So that's why I'm doing it now. And free agency, you know, it's also hard to sort of, I think we're in the golden age of stats that just don't matter. Like, I just saw a great stat from Sam Monson. Derrick Henry has run into 120 more 8-man boxes than the next running back over the last 3 years. So running 8-man boxes, Derrick Henry's done it 120 more times than any other running back behind the worst offensive line in the NFL. Banged up, injured team with a interesting, to say the least, offensive system. And now he goes to Baltimore. Like, that is that. I was joking about the Trey Lance being a scheme expansion, that trope a couple years ago. That's a scheme expansion. Derrick Henry doing whatever he wants against any type of defense with the Baltimore Ravens and their running lanes and their run designs, and Lamar Jackson helping, and some sort of rotation. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But then, like, everybody else, you can, like, the O-line stats are like hostages. You can get them to say whatever you want. I'm seeing, like, every time somebody signs now, it's like, well, you know, at corner, he was number 10 in man incompletions forced. Oh, there you go. Good. Good stuff. I just think that some of this stuff, and also, like, what does that mean? Why does it mean that? Like, even some of these sack numbers, these pressure numbers, it's like, well, it's dependent on certain things. Like, the reason I love, and I'm going to get this, like the Christian Wilkins thing I said it the other day, it's like 18 double team pressures forced, or pressures against the offensive line. And that's shows me, and that was more than the Raiders had as a defensive tackle core, but that shows me that, like, it doesn't matter what you do to Christian Wilkins. And so many of this stuff is projecting forward. Having said that, so everything when we're analyzing the free agency stuff, unless there's a defined role where it's like a slot receiver is going to play slot receiver, we know what he's going to look like with this quarterback, it's always hard. But it's an exercise that's worthy. So we're going to go through the AFC teams, figure out what you're playing for. Can you win the Super Bowl or not? Can these teams win the Super Bowl, division, or nothing? Let's start. Buffalo Bills. We're going to go through the AFC East first. And I'm going to, by the way, rank at the end of each division how it goes. I saw an alarming stat. So they've already lost Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, Tre'Davious White. 2,500 snaps last year. So they've also, they released those guys, okay? And then in free agency, lose Gabe Davis, Leonard Floyd, and then probably Micah Hyde will depart as well. That's another 2,500 snaps. So they've lost 5,000 snaps of experience. And these are good players, just solid players. You win Super Bowls a lot of times with B-plus players. And that the Bills had a lot of those. And you get to a point. I love what Steve Young said about Patrick Mahomes a couple of weeks ago on the show, where he said he gets a lot of credit for the Superman, but he doesn't get enough credit for Clark Kent. But guess what? You still need the Superman to win the Super Bowl. You still need the Superman. How many Supermen are there a quarterback? Where it doesn't matter, like Joe Burrow had the line a couple of years ago where he said, the window is open as long as he's here. And I tend to agree with that. And I think there's probably six or seven guys at most who I can look in this, look at this and say 5,000 snaps. Okay, fine. Guess what? They're still Super Bowl contenders. The Bills are that. The Bills can win the Super Bowl. Like, not even a question. Because of Josh Allen, because you need Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and a line to keep him upright. And even if you don't, he can grind through it. We've seen it, the proof of concept. The Bills were dead and buried this year. And by January, I thought they could win the Super Bowl. That's it. That's the Superman. That's the definition of quarterback Superman, is he can be in hot water and he will always get out. There's never, except those weird ass comics, I guess, at the end, where Superman died. I don't know. They got weird at the end, or kind of. It goes so many years, you got to start killing off Superman. With the exception of that, it's always the same story. And that's Josh Allen. So until I see evidence to suggest that 5,000 snaps is the threshold of you can't lose these B-plus players and Josh Allen is all of a sudden bad, until I see evidence, Josh Allen can win the Super Bowl every single year. Dolphins was the toughest one. Number one offense in the league by yards last year, decent defense. 24th in scoring percentage against. 32% of the drives ended in a score last year, and we know how injured they got. So they lose Wilkins, they lose Van Ginkle. They release Manuel Agba, Jerome Baker. Jerome Baker there forever, by the way. I remember going there the first year of their tank, and Baker, and he was a good young player at that point, and he got a nice contract. But he told me that there were times in the huddle that first year where he just literally was just a meeting guys. He was just like, what? Who? What? Like, the Dolphins' rise over the past 5 years has been incredible. Signing Jordan Brooks, Aaron Brewer, Shaq Barrett, Jordan Poyer, Jonnu Smith. Obviously, Xavien Howard not coming back as well. They're going to sign Tua at some point. It sounds like that might be closer to the season. This was so hard because I want to say Mike McKinney with Tua is almost bordering on they'll score enough points to be in the competition. I regret not picking them. I know this sounds stupid. I regret not picking them to be a Super Bowl contender last year because I thought they'd be really good, but I thought that their window exploded. And sometimes these timelines accelerate. I thought the window was wide open last year. If they didn't get injured last year, it's a completely different season, narrative, all that stuff. To me, they're second tier, which means they can win the division. They can't win the Super Bowl. They don't have the depth that they had last year. I don't know what the front seven looks like without Wilkins, with Van Ginkle, the pressures. They're just on the second tier to me, which is unfortunate. It's just bad timing on the contracts. And, like, by the way, like that's what happens when you have a longer build, is that guys start coming off the books sooner than you want. That's why you accelerate the timeline. Look at Houston right now. They go out and they get Will Anderson and CJ Stroud in the same year, and they can cook for 4 years. The Dolphins didn't have that luxury because it was kind of a long build. Tua was getting expensive. having a, figuring out the coaching and offensive coaching later in his contract, having guys who were high picks in 2018, 2019, all that stuff. Like that just, that's why it's hard to have a longer build. So they can win the division. They can win the Super Bowl. Jets lose Bryce Huff, pressure rate leader in the NFL the last 2 years. This one is complicated because I don't know if you were up on the news lately, but Aaron Rodgers is apparently in the mix to be a vice presidential candidate. The Jets showed no grit whatsoever last year, but they signed Tyrod Taylor, who's at least credible. Add John Simpson, Javon Kinlaw. Boy, this is almost as tough as the Dolphins. You know what? I'm going to say half-heartedly they can win the division only if Aaron Rodgers is at full health. He's not a vice presidential candidate and he just balls out. And I've gone, literally in my notes, I have like three different versions of this. It's a choose your own adventure book. If he's a vice presidential candidate, they can't win anything. If he gets hurt, they can't win anything. He has to play at an MVP level for them to overcome all of the things that they've. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, you know, ooh, there's a quote. Oh, the Jets seem to get every single thing that doesn't have to do with winning out of here. Guess who said that? Aaron Rodgers, the VP candidate. So he's got to play. I've never had to say this in my life. So many quarterbacks have to overcome bad coaching, bad receivers, bad offensive line. Never have I seen a quarterback who has to overcome his own distractions. The distractions he himself sets out into the world and then says, who, me? Who, me? Patriots are not competing for anything, unfortunately. They're the first team where I can safely say they cannot win anything. Like Gerard Mayo, interviewed him a couple years ago. Interesting guy. I think they're going to have a slow build. I think that they're going to... Josh Uche took like $8 million less yesterday to come back. So people want to be there, but I don't. They'll get a quarterback or trade out and get a stud piece. But this is not the year. If you can't win with that roster with Bill Belichick, it's going to be a while with the first time head coach. All right, AFC South. Mea culpa. The Texans. 2 days ago, Denny Carter, I was like, what are the Texans doing with their cap space? That they'd be more aggressive. We accelerated the timeline with Will Anderson. What the hell is going on? Wrong. Danielle Hunter is a Houston Texan. And I think that you just look at this defense now. They had a couple of holes that they needed to fill because CJ Stroud is ready to take a massive second year leap. The biggest leap statistically in football is between year one and year two for quarterbacks. Very rarely is there a leap after that. I believe the only guys who have done it, not counting Alex Smith, because he was failed a couple of times, but the only guys who have done year two to year three leaps are Josh Allen, Troy Aikman. And a lot of that stuff, the Cowboys were a mess in Troy Aikman's first year. Josh Allen was just so raw, it's a little different. CJ Stroud, more of a mainstream kind of normal prospect. So there's going to be a massive leap. Even if you think he was a stud last year, it only typically gets better in year two. So Danielle Hunter had 16 sacks last year. Autry had 11 and a half sacks. I thought that sort of losing, and they fixed the linebacker thing as well. And I thought losing Jonathan Greenard was going to be a problem. It's not. The front seven is arguably better on Wednesday. Not arguably. It is better on Thursday and Friday of this week than it was a week ago. So Will Anderson had 68 total pressures last year. We know what that looks like. Hunter had 80 total pressures. Look at pressures. Like, go through PFF and like midseason. And look at the teams with genuine pass rush depth who all have three or four guys who can really get pressure, and you'll see the teams that are setting their offense up to win the Super Bowl. Because you just need, as long as you can pressure the quarterback, and you have a baseline of good offense, you have to have a good offense to win the Super Bowl. But then on the defensive side, I think you can get away with a lot as long as you can pressure a quarterback. Everything else, pressure is the, this is a crazy thing to say, pressure is the quarterback of the defense. What I mean with that by that is you can win a Super Bowl without pass rush depth, but everything else has to be perfect. In the same way on offense, you can win a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback if everything else is perfect. And so the fact that the Texans are going to have genuine pass rush depth, tons of guys who rack up pressure, Autry, Hunter, Will Anderson, solving the linebacker situation. You already have Stingley, who had 5 interceptions last year, young, good young player. All of a sudden, not only can this team win the Super Bowl, top three likely, in my opinion, when you just look at the way that this should project out. D'Amico Ryan's a stud coach. Seems like Nick Caserio is handling the GM. I'm talking about the AFC. But I'm talking about, but Nick Caserio seems to be handling this build perfectly in a way I've been skeptical of a couple of times, been wrong every single time. This is now the second time I've publicly doubted the Texans. I didn't like the Will Anderson trade. I was wrong. The timeline was accelerated. I didn't like what they did on day one of free agency. I was wrong. They had moves up their sleeve. So, like, I'm in timeout on this. The Houston Texans, without a doubt, can win the Super Bowl. All right. Jaguars, good Lord. Kept Josh Allen, signed Gabe Davis, lost Darius Williams, signed Darnell Savage, Mitch Morse. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they do well. What are they doing well this year? Nate Tice, our buddy Nate Tice, had a thing in his Yahoo column where he basically said that the team building in Jacksonville, led by Trent Baalke, who, by the way, this is Trent Baalke, great example of where the internet is dead on, because it's happened with Dave Gettleman too, where everybody says, okay, this is really bad. This guy's a poor track record. And then the fan base tends to agree. Then some of the fan base forget, maybe they just cope themselves into thinking it, but like the internet has never been wrong on Trent Baalke. Trevor Lawrence is still cheap and they've squandered that. And Nate Tice's point in his column was that essentially their roster building has been too specific. And they've got guys who can do one or two things well, have particular strengths, and it just doesn't, it's not flexible enough. It's susceptible to injury. Everything has to be perfect. It just seems like I made fun of the idea of like a plan and how like planning is for losers the other day, because I just feel like teams are able, especially with the rising cap, to figure out much more like year by year, like let's just get this guy and solve our problems. But like it just seems like the Jacksonville Jaguars are throwing darts against the wall from a team building perspective. And just saying, hey, this guy can solve this very specific problem right now. And none of it has shown to work, and they're overpaying for good players, for average players. And I just, what's the best move they've made to help Trevor Lawrence's life? What is it? I don't know. I haven't seen anything. What's the best move? Yeah, one of the best prospects in years who could have played better, certainly, but I have not seen, like, just show me. If we go again, always the test is my test of Staley last year. If you go to Trent Baalke and say, what have you done to keep your job? What have you done to force yourself into another contract as GM? I don't know the answer. Now, he probably has an answer because he's Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, because he continues to rise up organizations and keep his job. Probably has a great answer, but I don't have one. Colts. Oh, anyway, I don't think the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars, unfortunately, the Jaguars at this point in Trevor Lawrence's life should be competing for a Super Bowl, and they're competing for a division at best. I almost want to say they're competing for nothing, but you can't rule out leaps, and they've had some success at the quarterback position, so we'll just throw it in there. The Colts, to me, have a significantly higher ceiling than the Jaguars, which should not be said at this point in Trevor Lawrence's career, and the fact that Anthony Richardson was hurt for most of last year. Michael Pittman extended, Kenny Moore extended, Raekwon Davis from the Dolphins. Anthony Richardson coming back is like a signing. And I know in English soccer, they always joke with like Arsene Wenger, he said, oh, getting this player back is like a new signing. Anthony Richardson is like getting a stud back because they had Minshew last year and they were in the mix with Minshew. Anthony Richardson is better. If you're one of those people who, and I like Gardner Minshew, we did this on Monday with Jenny Carter. But if you're one of those people like, well, they look better with Minshew, watch the games and understand what Anthony Richardson is. I saw a couple times Anthony Richardson was like the fastest person in football by GPS. And there was a Zach Moss run last year in October before Richardson got hurt where he was running. Richardson was running without the ball at almost over 21 miles per hour, which was the fastest speed by a quarterback who didn't have the ball basically in the last 7 years since Next Gen Stats started tracking things, which is just astounding. The athleticism, he's more developed as a thrower than you think. It's not going to take much. The reason you bet on athleticism is it doesn't take much. So I got to say, and he's not in the CJ Stroud mold or anything like that. He hasn't reached those heights, but this is about projecting forward. I'm going to put the Colts in can win the Super Bowl. The ceiling is too high. The ceiling is too high for me not, and the floor is too high for me not to think there's a pathway here for like unbelievable leaps from a bunch of guys. Chris Ballard is a good GM, even though there's been some weirdness there. Shane Steichen is a stud play caller. Colts for me, absolutely. All right, Titans not competing for anything, unfortunately. I like Brian Callahan. Tony Pollard signing weird. Kenneth Murray, okay, whatever. Get a center, okay, whatever. 2 years away, 1 year away. Again, we went through this the other day. Like, it's hard. Panthers are the same way. It's hard to start from not a lot of roster talent to just signing guys in free agency because every move looks weird and we look at it in a vacuum. If you got to solve the center thing, fine. If you got to solve the linebacker thing, fine. But it just looks like a weird build. And this stuff, it's going to take two drafts for them to get the talent where it needs to be. So now we're at the halfway mark. So let's do quickly the divisions here. So Bills first in the AFC East. Dolphins second, Jets third, Patriots fourth. I know that's chalk, but that's just how it goes. Texans first, Colts second, Jaguars third, Titans fourth. Be my guess. Would not rule out the bottom falling out in Jacksonville. Not like 1-16, but I don't know. What if Will Levis gets solved by Brian Callahan? I think the Titans are closer than the Jaguars. The 2024 Jaguars are to the Texans. But maybe that doesn't mean anything. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Ravens. Justin Madubuike back. Already ready to the Derrick Henry stat. Patrick Queen off to Pittsburgh. That's bad. Geno Stone off to Cincinnati. That's bad. But I saw enough, again, not to quote Steve Young. Steve Young said this was a transition year last year, and Lamar Jackson won MVP. They're transitioning into a passing offense. And if you look at it as a transition year, it's a roaring success. We look at it through the context of Lamar Jackson has done this before. He's been a disappointment in the playoffs, whatever, choking merchant, whatever you guys on Twitter say and in the YouTube comments. But that's not, I don't think you should view it that way. I think you should view it as year one of a new era of Baltimore Ravens football. I don't think Patrick Queen and Geno Stone losing those guys are enough to say like, okay, they're going to take a step back. No, they're going to take a step forward. Lamar Jackson in his current form, I know we didn't see it in the playoffs, is on the Superman list that I referenced earlier, where it would take a hell of a lot more for me to say he can't win the Super Bowl. He can put a team on his back. So the way they're operating, absolutely, absolutely Super Bowl. The Bengals are going to finish second in this division and they can win the Super Bowl. I picked them to win the Super Bowl last year. T. Higgins is going to come back. He's going to be unhappy, but he's going to come back. Very similar to Jesse Bates a couple of years ago, who didn't ask for a trade, but they basically said, we're going to tag you. You're going to come back for one last ride, and then you can go make your money elsewhere. That's what I believe to be happening. There's a reason they're not really talking substantial money with him, and they're going to ride this out. I don't. And then they'll figure out wide receiver two or a weapon in the draft. They signed Mike Gesicki. He is not going to be the future of weapons, but he's going to be enough. They lost Irv Smith. They'll off Uzier, signed Zach Moss, and the aforementioned Geno Stone. But Gesicki does a job for them, even though he's not a good blocker. He does a job for them. They need, the way teams defend Joe Burrow, they need someone kind of in the middle of the field just do the dirty work. And Gesicki can do that. He can be open as a tight end. He can lose himself in the defense. It's a fine signing. So Bengals, absolutely number two in the division, can win the Super Bowl. I'm line of demarcation after this. The Browns and the Steelers can both compete for the division. They cannot win the Super Bowl. The Browns, there's quarterback problems. There's quarterback problems. And I'm going to scream the next time a Browns fan tells me about Deshaun Watson's record in games last year, 6-1, right? That's because of the defense. Deshaun Watson has not played one of the worst contracts in the history of sports. And he has not played winning football. A lot of people could have been. Joe Flacco won comeback player of the year last year because he was old, because he played decent enough and had left the Browns defense guide him. I said earlier, you can win the Super Bowl without an elite quarterback if everything is perfect. I don't believe everything is perfect. It's good enough to win the division, but it's not good enough to compete with the Chiefs, with the Ravens, with the Texans. Like, that's just not how that works. So the Steelers, I'm going to go Ravens, win the Super Bowl, Bengals, win the Super Bowl. That's 1-2. I think the Browns and Steelers are going to be pretty close together. The upgrading on Kenny Pickett is, he'll be able to complete, Russell isn't be able to complete passes, all that stuff. So that's where I'm at. So that no one in this division, it's a good division. No one is competing for nothing, which is congratulations. Raise the banner, boys. All right. Chiefs. I was thinking about this. Obviously the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, but I was thinking about this. I was thinking like, what could happen this offseason for the Chiefs to not be on my tier one can win the Super Bowl list? Just thinking about it, because obviously Mahomes leaving or Andy Reid leaving would be it. But like, what if they lost Chris Jones? What if they lost Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed? No, doesn't matter. Building blocks still in place. Because you can win a Super Bowl with Reid and Mahomes. Now, what makes it unfair is having Chris Jones and Spags, and if they bring Legarius Sneed back, there might be news on that at some point. Then Mahomes restructures his contract to fit under the cap. Like, that's what makes it unfair. So I literally like Travis Kelce retiring, maybe that would not affect their tier status. There's nothing short of Mahomes and Reed that would impact this in any way. Health and retirement of those two guys, as long as they have it, we're all good. All right. This is where it gets complicated. The Raiders are second for me. The Raiders are competing for the division. They're the only other team competing for the division. Wilkins, great signing. I mentioned this on Denny Carter, the Denny Carter Show. There's so many busts in free agency because it's mediocre players getting good player money. Or good player money getting elite player money because they reach free agency. Wilkins is an elite player getting elite money. That, to me, is totally fine. Totally within the accepted norm. As my one-year-old cries, he doesn't really love how they spent their allocated their resources. But they were the ninth best defense last year. Are we sure they can't be a good team this year with Antonio Pierce? Without Josh McDaniels doing weird stuff and saying never. Josh McDaniels last year was running around in meetings being like, never slander the Patriots. What the hell are you talking about, Josh McDaniels? What the hell are you talking about? You get to slander the Patriots this year. So there you go. They're competing for the division. Now, here's why it gets complicated in this division. Because the Broncos and the Chargers both have great long-term outlooks. Not this year. Chargers have everybody on the block save Justin Herbert. Broncos don't have a quarterback. Maybe they'll draft one. Maybe they'll take a flyer on a guy who becomes available in the next couple of months. Sean Payton will turn around the Broncos. The Chargers, I believe, will make a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. But they got to take their medicine. That's just how these builds work. They are not far enough along. And Justin Herbert, not on the Superman list yet. Maybe he's a long way from it. I love watching him play. But he's done nothing to suggest that he should be on a tier higher than he is. The team is because of his presence. Hasn't done anything for it. The Broncos, it looked like the whole project was going to be abandoned midway through the season. Sean Payton turned it around. I just don't see enough, trading Jerry Jeudy like to the Browns. I didn't even mention Jerry Jeudy with the Browns, but it's like, that doesn't matter. None of that matters. Like that, maybe addition by subtraction, but they've just got a ways until they're competing for anything. Might be a 2025 thing. Chargers, same deal. The Chargers will eventually be competing with the Chiefs at some point, like 12, 13 win type of stuff in the division. And I think at one point they will, I think the over under on Mahomes Super Bowls is astoundingly high, but he's not going to win the next 10. I think the Chargers get to one at some point. It ain't going to be next year because they have cap problems. They're old. Harbaugh will mold this roster into what it needs to be. That's going to take a while. And now, the difference is the San Francisco roster he had, where he immediately won, and that was not considered a sleeping giant team. It was a younger roster, more pieces, weren't capped out like that. Year two, what do they say on TikTok? It's going to be a movie in the Chargers stadium, in Chargers Town. Which is a very thin slice of Orange County. But that's not going to happen this year. All right. So that's the way. So it's division, Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos, Chargers. Be my guess. Nobody that bad, nobody winning two games, but that's sort of how, and the Chargers and both these teams are going to win games. I mean, the Broncos beat the Chiefs last year, but both these teams are going to win games. People don't expect them to. They may be better than people think midway through the season, grind out a couple December wins if you surprise some people. There's going to be a proof of concept for both of these guys, but I don't think they're going to, I don't think they have any chance of winning the division. And by the way, when I say like the Raiders are competing for the division, I want to establish this here. I don't mean that they're going to be like bigger Super Bowl favorites than the Chiefs. I'm talking about in a vacuum, the range of wins that they can have. 10, 11, 12, if everything goes right. If everything goes perfect. I'm talking about pathways here. The Chiefs are a significantly better team than the Raiders. We're just talking about pathways to a range of wins here. And the Raiders are in the second tier to me because of their moves. Because of what they showed last year, because of their front seven, which is going to be pretty nasty. I kind of like, maybe I'm higher on this than I should be. Anyway, we'll be back beginning of next week with NFC teams plus JJ Watt. This has been Football. See you soon.